share it with a pretty high level of enthusiasm because I'm looking for ways to draw people into this conversation instead of push people out of the conversation because they have to believe exactly as I believe before I can welcome them into the conversation. And so this is one of my forms of witness, which is what we want to talk about today. Witness. What do you think of when you think of the word witness? It can be negative, positive, or have no emotion to it whatsoever. But when I say the word witness, what comes to your brain? You've seen something. You've been a witness. You've observed something. You've seen a car accident. You are a witness to it, right? Okay, what else?
In regard to the church, it can go different ways. The very conservative churches or charismatic churches would witness, strong, as far as they felt Christianity was really strong and trying to bring people in. I don't see the same way here with us. I think more loving and our invitation to worship.
So in the faith community, there is a variety of methods of witness, yeah. Okay, so some witness has an objective to it. And in some Christian witness, that objective might be to convert people. Witness sharing life experience. So by being, our mouths don't even have to open. So our witness can be by just our existence in something. Like we're witnessing today to our concerns for hunger by walking. Right? Okay? Witness. Witness, witness. What does that word mean to you when you hear it? Witness, witness. Okay, let me try another one like testimony. When you hear testimony or somebody gives testimony, what does that word draw up for you? Testimony, testimony. I'm going to give my testimony. What does that word draw up for you?
Both of those words to be reminded.
Court of law. Okay, so this is my testimony. This is what I, in my brain, saw happen or experienced happening. Okay, yeah, Catherine.
To tell your story, people, daughter families and recipients, where I work, organ transplants, they will test, they'll give their testimonial, they'll tell their story about.
They'll tell their story about receiving an organ, a transplant. So it's a testimony, it's a telling of our story. Okay, what else? Testimony.
I think, faith sense is where you as an individual kind of start your transformation down a different path.
Okay, so in a faith perspective, it can be when a transformation is occurring from you in a path, you're starting to go down this path and you're sharing that with other people. Okay? Testimony, 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 testimony. Testimony, yeah.
Telling a story as you perceive it happening.
Right. Okay, so telling a story as you perceive it happen. All you need to do is talk to a husband and wife, and they need to offer their testimony on what happened. And why are you laughing? It's amazing that two people could experience the same thing quite differently. Yes, or two very dear friends, right? Or two siblings. When the lamp breaks and you ask how it broke, how one sibling might respond and how the other sibling might respond, their testimony might be quite different, right? Because in part, we see it through our experience, through our lens, right? Okay, Jimmy, what do you think? Testimony, what means you? Telling your side of the story. Giving your testimony, your side of the story. Yep. Right? So it has an expectation of truthfulness about it and what you perceive is happening.
To me, it's one of the things that a lot of people think that farmers are almost always giving their testimony about what life is or what's important to them and all different kinds of symbols. It's not just stories.
Well, look at this. This is a testimony to what this person thought of in healing. And this, which one was, I got all this stuff now. But, okay, so anyways. Each one of them, each one of the artists, right, is giving us testimony to that word today. And some use words, and some don't use words, right? but we're trying to look at the artist's piece and see what are they trying to say, you know, not even with words. Okay, so testimony, testing. Do you know that the word testimony is the word testament? It's the same thing. New Testament, Old Testament. So what's that telling us about our Bible? The Old Testament is telling us their witness to the acts of God in history, right? Then all of a sudden, a New Testament, now all of a sudden God has acted again, sending this person Jesus, and now all of a sudden we have a new testimony, a new witness to the people who experienced Jesus, walk with Jesus, learn from Jesus, listen to Jesus. So we have this testimony, this witness, old and new, to the acts of God in history through people. So it's not just evidence in court or proof or evidence or witness or even a demonstration. There is also this recounting of God at work in history. I want to give you just a hair of history around these words to kind of deconstruct this for a moment, and then I want with your help to reconstruct what we're going to mean as a community when we use these words. In history, when the New Testament was written, people were on fire. Jesus changed lives. Jesus changed, all you have to do is look like the woman at the well. And she goes and bears testimony because he knew everything about me. He told me everything I had ever done. And people believe it's as a result of her testimony. Her life was so changed, she could not contain herself from sharing what had happened. People were on fire. It's interesting that this is recorded in history. This is what people said of the early church, right after Jesus leaves here. See those Christians, how they love one another. See those Christians, how they love one another. Because they were doing the kind of loving that Jesus had taught them. They were putting everything they had in common for the good of all. They were meeting together in people's houses and eating together and praying together and singing together and studying together because they couldn't get enough of this Jesus. They couldn't get enough of the new life that they had found in Jesus. They became so excited, so transformed that the people around them saw it. Maybe one of the realities of the church today is nobody sees much difference in the people who claim the name of Jesus from those who don't. I think it's something for us to consider. So they're pretty excited. Then Constantine kind of changed history because Constantine legalized the Christian religion in 313 in the Common Era. And the practice of all this excitement kind of began to wane. People found the need to talk about faith much less urgent because people were kind of, that was the state religion. People were kind of expected to believe. And so they became much more interested in pressing needs like buildings and children being educated and training professional clergy. And so testimony kind of took a hiatus. And it developed into a practice, historically, of the spiritual elite. Because they were the ones that were making the decisions. And they were it's always about follow the money. Then the Reformation took place, where there was this split, and there were people who felt very strongly that the church was making some mistakes, and they were calling the church to accountability. And what does that do? Rouse people back up again, right? It riled people back up again. So now we have a group of people taking on the Roman church and saying, we think that there's some things that are being done inappropriately, and we want some reform, and we want some changes. And there was this resistance to this change, and all of a sudden, this occurred. What starts happening again? What do you think? Testimony becomes alive again. Why? Because now I want to explain why I'm either a strong retainer of the Roman church, or I want to defend, right, and support why I become a part of the Reformation. So all of a sudden, testimony reemerged, and people began to embrace this new Protestant faith. And there was this shift from the learned elite in Protestantism to the priesthood of all believers, so that everybody had kind of equal say, equal understanding, and the scripture was handed over to the people, and people were excited by that and wanted to give testimony to that, and it emboldened people to share their faith. Then the 17th century, century comes along, so we're going to go a little further down the road, and New England Puritans elevated testimony to this democratic expression that everybody was entitled to. And so people actually, in this time period, were required to testify publicly to the works of God in their life, or they were not allowed to become a part of the church. So it became an indelible part of American religion. But it often became about victory. Victory is mine through Jesus. The 18th and 19th century evangelical revivalists pick up the practice, but what ends up happening is middle-class Protestants begin to shy away from it. And so, by the middle of the 20th century, it is only respectable for certain people to do this, and most people had abandoned giving these kinds of fervent testimonies altogether. So can you see this history? It just kind of goes up and down and dances all around. For some people, testimony and witness have bore a very negative image. Could you tell me why? Why do you think for some people just the thought of testimony or witness has a negative image? Your parents called them the holy rollers because they didn't get off the soapbox, right? They just kept... They gave it, and for hours, you'd go to 10 meetings for hours, and it'd be testimony after testimony of the victory, okay? And so that had some negative consequences. Why else?
There's always a perceived judgment from the person whose testimony is given to the person who received the testimony. There's judgment if you don't align yourself with that testimony.
Okay, so perceived judgment. If I am giving my testimony, you don't align yourself with my belief system, that there's a judgment on you. Okay? The altar call deal.
One of the things is there's also a form of testimony, there's emotionalism and a personal expression, and then you've got a logical and thinking and educated, and there's always a kind of problem between those two sets.
Right. So our heads and our emotions, so whether we kind of go into our thinking or emotion, people who are slain in the spirit and they're down on the ground, they're so ecstatic or they're speaking in tongues. And there's this disconnect for some people, right? Some are locked more in one and some are perhaps locked more than the other. Listen for a moment with me, please, as you hear what the scripture has to say about witness and testimony.
Come now. Let us make covenant, you and I. And let it be a witness between you and me. Genesis 31:44.
This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. Genesis 31:52.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 20:16.
You shall not follow a majority in wrongdoing. When you bear witness in a lawsuit, you shall not side with the majority so as to pervert justice. Exodus 23:2.
I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live. Deuteronomy 30:19.
Take this book of law and put beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Let it remain as a witness against you. Deuteronomy 31:26.
As for the matter about which you and I have have spoken. The Lord is witness between you and me forever. Samuel 20:23.
See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you if you falsely deal with your God. Joshua 24:27.
And this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14.
He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. John 1:7.
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. John 4:39.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8.
And while the blood of your witness Stephen was shed, I myself was standing by, approving and keeping the coats of those who killed him. Acts 22:20.
For God is my witness. Philippians 1:8.
If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. 1 John 5:9.
So what do you hear? You were listening, there's some very interesting things there. What did you hear? Who gives testimony? God, people,
rocks,
Jesus. Who gives testimony? The covenant gives testimony, the heap gives testimony, the pillar gives testimony, the neighbor gives testimony, the witness gives testimony, heaven gives testimony, earth gives testimony, the book of the law gives testimony, the Lord gives testimony, the stone gives testimony, let's see what else, the good news gives testimony, John gives testimony to Jesus, Samaritan woman gives testimony, the Holy Spirit gives testimony. We are to give testimony. All right, grandfather. That's a lot of people who give testimony. That's a lot of things that can give testimony. So what does that say about testimony? There's a reason. This wasn't just useless time. There's a reason. What does that say about testimony? Anybody, anything can give testimony. So it's not just about us. If a freaking rock can give testimony, it's not just about us, is it? And if all these things can give testimony, what are they testifying to?
Everything.
agreement. Us.
Love.
Love. God.
Court of law.
Court of law. That's right. You were listening. Experience. So, when we bear witness, when we bear testimony to our faith, what should it look like? What should it look like? It's near the mind of God. If a rock can give testimony, what is that saying about our testimony? Come on, dig, people. Dig, dig, dig. It can be simple. It can be actions. It cannot be easy sometimes.
It should be what it is to us.
It should be
what it is to us.
It should be what it is to us. You might not even know you're giving it. Right?
So, I know that deep down, not one person that sees or perceives anything the same way as somebody else.
That's right.
And we don't integrate it into ourselves, we're not the way. So, by giving testimony, we're dealing at that deep, we're supposed to be dealing at that sort of flesh level of ourselves. So that all of us eventually, in the new world of God's event, we'll give testimony of our own, because then it'll be that kind of testimony. That's the only way we can hear what God is doing, because we can only receive from us.
So we have to give it from who we are. That's another who we are, and that's going to be different for every single person. Right? So our stories, when we give testimony, really talk about how we're making sense of meaning. How we're making sense of God in a confusing and often chaotic world. What was really interesting is that the women's retreat that we just had, women were giving their testimony without even realizing that that's what they were doing. Because what was happening was they were learning how to claim their story and then give voice to that story and share that story. Our testimony, our witness, is about our story, how we are experiencing, how God is working in us and through us. Does that make sense? And then we dare to share that with other people because we're so excited about it. You know, we don't hesitate for a moment to share something we're excited about. We don't hesitate for a moment. If they get a new flavor of coffee at Starbucks that we're really excited about, we don't hesitate to tell people, did you taste the pumpkin spice? It's like amazing, right? We don't hesitate when we're excited about something. When our kid graduates and gets something, we post it on Facebook. When it's important to us, when it is something that we are invested in, we don't hesitate to share it. God wants that kind of sharing, I think, is the best testimony. If you look at Jesus, Jesus was able to relate to anybody. And he chose carefully how he shared based on who he was talking to. So how he shared all summer long, we looked at this study right on the way to Samaria. He didn't use God language at all, did he? He didn't even talk about God. All summer long, it was always about God, but didn't even have to use the word, because who was his audience? People who were what to God? Kind of angry, right? Juice up, ready to go. That's very different than when he's talking with the disciples and he's having very intimate conversations. And when he's talking with the disciples, he's going at it. He's invested because he's equipping them and training them. That's very different than how we find him in the house of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who are on his tush, dukes up, ready to go and kill him. He's talking with them very differently. If you look throughout all the scripture, who does Jesus confront the most?
Us.
The religious righteous. Who is Jesus most compassionate towards? Who is Jesus most least judgmental around?
The last
people that are far from him, right? Those are people that he doesn't come at them and say, by the way, I know you have no idea who Jesus is, but I'm here to tell you, if you don't believe him, you're going to hell. That was not Jesus' style. Right? He wooed people where they were by his love. And people who weren't, who thought they got him, they fully understood him, he was pretty tough on them because he needed to humble them. Which is a sign to us when we give a witness, when we believe their testimony, it should be given what? Humbly. Without judgment. Without fear. And a lot of times our witness isn't about victory. Sometimes our witness is about the struggle. Witnessing is the power of story to change us. It is the Holy Spirit in us. It's the opportunity for us to talk about how God's love is transforming us, how it has changed us, and how it has the capacity to change anyone and everyone, how God's love has surprised us in unexpected ways. Witness and testimony were never meant to be words that push something down somebody's throat who had no desire. I want to just share in closing a wonderful illustration of witness in this community. Yesterday,
it was amazing.
It was absolutely amazing to watch all of you who were there at the yard sale engaging people. People were like, "Who's the barn?" And we had stickers all over the barn, "Love Wins," always like, "Who's the barn?" And I was like, I have to be the fly on the wall. As I was walking around, I was listening to all of you describe the barn to people. It was a beautiful thing to hear you describe the barn to people. Here's another witness. Kim and Rich Adams, 1774. They open a restaurant, right? We often are in the restaurant. They open a restaurant, and what do? They give 10% on Wednesday to the barn. Now, that's a witness in a very subtle kind of way, but they don't keep it that way. They were just on the radio. Do you notice? They were just on the radio. And what did they use it for? Not just an opportunity to talk about 1774, but they said, "And by the way, we want to give back. So, by the way, come to the barn on this day, and we'll give it to the Easton Shelter, and come on this day, and we'll give it to the barn for you." What a beautiful way, creative way, wonderful way to witness. And the barn has been the recipient of a couple lovely gifts from them because you all are going there on the first Wednesday of the month and speaking to your friends. Witness can take many, many forms. I think the thing that we're being encouraged to do today, that I want to encourage you today, is to not hesitate to share the story of how God is active in your life. Not in a forceful way, not in an offensive way, not in a judgmental way. But in a way that's just honest and pure, comes from your heart. Because this is about good news. That's why the people said of the early church, "See those Christians, how they love one another." For those of you who are in the crosswalk today, you're making a witness to the community around you. That you care about world hunger, you care about local hunger, and so does our great and gracious God. Well done. Good and faithful students. Let's take a moment now and be still and be grateful to the God of the universe. This is our time to offer our morning offerings of our time, our talent, our treasure, to be thinking about how we might be used by God to be a wonderful caretaker of the things that God has given us. How are we doing that? How are we stepping up to the plate? How are we taking what has been given on loan from God? How are we taking that loan and spending it? So take a moment now to think about that as we present our morning.
Thank you. distinction in the use